No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, and no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill, and today is the seventh day of July. Welcome, everyone. It's a joy, an honor, and a privilege to be here reading the Word of God for us in this beautiful global campfire, this beautiful, safe. We take pride in this being a safe space and a safe community. Today, we're going to begin another brand new book of the Bible, and it has become one of my favorite little books, stuck right here, snug in between the kings and the prophets. And this is the book of Jonah. Today, we'll read Jonah chapters 1-4. This week, we are reading the Evangelical Heritage Version. Jonah, chapter 1. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up, go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach against it, for its people's evil way has come up before me. But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare and boarded the ship to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind onto the sea, and there was such a great storm on the sea that the ship was about to break apart. The sailors were afraid, and each one cried out to his gods. They threw the ship's cargo into the sea to lighten the ship's load. Jonah had gone down into the hold of the ship. He was lying down and sleeping soundly. The captain approached him and said, "How can you be sleeping so soundly? Get up and call on your God. Maybe your God will treat us with favor so that we will not perish." And the sailors said to each other, "Come on, let's cast lots so that we can find out whose fault it is that this disaster has come to us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they said to him, "Please tell us whose fault it is that this disaster has come to us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? What people are you from?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were terrified and said to him, "What have you done?" The men already knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them so. Then, because the storm on the sea kept getting worse, they said to him, "What should we do to you to quiet the sea that is raging against us?" He said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will calm down for you, for I know that this violent storm striking against you has come about because of me." Instead, the men rowed hard to return the ship to dry land, but they could not because the storm on the sea kept getting worse for them. So they cried out to the Lord and said, "Please, Lord, please do not let us perish because of this man's life, and do not charge innocent blood against us, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." So they picked Jonah up and threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. And the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Then the Lord provided a large fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish. He said the following, "In my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the belly of the grave I cried out, and you heard my voice. You threw me into the depths, into the heart of the seas. The currents swept around me. All your breakers and your waves swept over me. I said, 'I have been driven away from your sight.' Nevertheless, I will once again look towards your holy temple. Waters engulfed me so that I was near death. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth locked me behind its bars forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord. My prayer came to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forsake the mercy that is theirs. But I, with a shout of thanksgiving, will indeed sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will certainly pay in full. Salvation belongs to the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, "Get up, go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, just as the word of the Lord had commanded. Now Nineveh was a great city to God. It required a 3-day walk. Jonah walked through the city for a day, and he called out, 40 more days and Nineveh is going to be overthrown." The men of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least. When word reached the king of Nineveh, he got up from his throne, took off his royal robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh, "By the decree of the king and his leading officials, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat food or drink water. Instead, let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call fervently to God. Let them turn from their evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent. He may turn from his burning anger so that we will not perish." When God saw their actions, that they had turned from their evil way, God relented from the disaster which he said he would bring on them, and he did not carry it out. But to Jonah, all this seemed very bad, and he became very angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Lord, wasn't this exactly what I said when I was still in my own country? That is why I previously fled to Tarshish, because I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abounding in mercy, and you relent from sending disaster. So now, Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city. He made a shelter for himself there and sat in the shade under it, waiting to see what would happen in the city. Then the Lord God provided a plant and made it grow up over Jonah to provide shade over his head to relieve him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm and it attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind. The sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die, so he said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" Jonah said, "I do not have a right to be angry enough to die." So the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant. You did not work for it or make it grow. It grew up in one night and perished after one night. So should I not be concerned for Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 people who do not know the difference between their right hand and their left, and also many animals?" Let's talk about Jonah and the whale. So I mentioned that this is quickly becoming one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament, and that's not because of the Sunday school version of this story that I have lived with most of my life, that Jonah disobeyed God, he got swallowed by a whale, but praise God, the whale spit him up on the side of the earth one day when Jonah came to his senses. I don't think that's the point of the story any longer. So as we are in the book of Kings and Chronicles, we are learning about these kings in rapid fire time, and which ones did good in the sight of the Lord and which ones did evil in the sight of the Lord. And we can assume that as these kings did evil in the sight of the Lord, they disobeyed God's commandments and they led the people into idol worship. Now, this is sometimes worshiping of other idols and gods that were being worshipped by other people groups. And sometimes this is just their own direct disobedience. They are not going to follow God's ways. They are not going to keep God's commandments. And by doing so, they influence the people that made a covenant with God generations ago that God told to remember to never forget where they came from, what He brought them out of, and for them to keep their word. And so when a king, a leader, a ruler leads the people into idolatry and or disobedience, it affects the entire nation. And as we see, sometimes this is for decades and generations before a king will come in and turn back to God. And often what it takes is this one single voice that goes against the culture. And as we've already seen, there have been prophets already in which the people did not appreciate the truth being spoken and they did away with him. This leads us to the story today of Jonah. God calls Jonah to go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach against it, for its people's evil way has come up before me. So for one reason or another, Jonah doesn't want to be the person. He doesn't want to be the man that goes and preaches against the people. Do you blame him? We like to be that prophetic voice that people love because we are prophesying fame and fortune and prosperity and goodness, and don't worry, your time is coming and it's all going to turn around and God's going to just turn it all around. But who wants to hear, if you don't turn it around, it's not going to go well for you. So instead of going to Nineveh, Jonah goes to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. And he goes down to Joppa and finds a big ship going to Tarshish. Now, we don't know exactly the amount of distance between Nineveh and Tarshish, and I guess that would not be the point. But for understanding, let's understand that where scholars speculate both places to be, it's roughly 25 to 3,000 miles apart. But the point of the story is that Jonah flees in the opposite direction of where Nineveh is to flee to Tarshish. He's going to run from God and escape this task as best as he can. But don't you know, I mean, touch your brother where you're at right now and say, don't you know you can't outrun God? You can't flee from God. It's not going to go well. So he's on the boat with the sailors. The storm comes. It's not going well. They're scared. Jonah finally gives himself up, tells them to throw himself into the sea and things will go well for them. And they do, but not without trying to get to safety first. That's not working. They throw Jonah into the water. He gets swallowed up. And in the moment of Jonah being swallowed by the fish, he has an awakening. And he realizes that God has spared him by being thrown into the belly of the fish. Jonah acknowledges his ways, repents. God throws him up out of the belly of the whale. And Jonah goes to Nineveh just as the Lord commands. He goes to Nineveh. God tells him to preach what God commands him. It requires 3 days walking through the city, encouraging them to repent. Now, the king of Nineveh hears this, and we have to understand what happens in this moment of hearing. You can easily hear someone offer a prophetic word from God and compel you to turn back, to come back, or it's not going to go well for you. And if you're pride is in a certain place, you can laugh and scoff it off. You can arrogantly know more than God and realize that you're just fine. You've got this. where you can hear the words and the warning of God through God's chosen messenger, and surrender in the moment. Surrender your pride. Surrender your ways. Surrender your will. Our will. My will. Surrender it all to God in the moment and turn. And this is called repentance. The king has a choice in the moment, and he surrenders to the message of God in this moment. And he commands the people to fast and to pray and to repent. And what comes next is the most important part of the story of Jonah. God sees their actions, he sees them turn, and he cancels the plan of disaster against the people that he had planned and that he said he promised he would bring on them, and does not carry it out because of their repentance. And here's the clincher to the story. To Jonah, this all seemed very bad. He became angry. Wasn't this exactly what I said when I was still in my own country? That's why I left Tarshish. I knew that you are gracious and merciful, God, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. And you relent from sending disaster. Jonah knew that if the people would repent and turn from their wickedness, God would show them mercy. Let that just sink all the way to the bottom for a second. Let me say it just a little bit differently. I'm right. They're wrong. You're not going to punish them for doing wrong when I've been doing right this whole time. You're going to show mercy and forgive them? Yes. God's answer is always yes, upon repentance. And he returns Jonah's questions with a question. Is it right for you to be angry? Ooh, Lord. That's a question we could all sit with today. Is it right for us to be angry at the justice and mercy, grace and compassion and unconditional love of God when he shines it on those who turn from their wickedness? Do we have a right to be angry when we need the same things from God? We just need them for different things than other people. We just sin differently. But we all want to know our place with God. We want to know that we've got it right and we're doing it right. And if he could just send the storm down on those that are not doing it right, we can feel better about ourselves. This is not the way of God. In Jonah's anger, he goes out of the city and he makes a shelter and he sits under the shade waiting to see what would happen in the city. And God grows a plant over Jonah to provide shade and to protect him. Jonah's very happy about the shelter. But the next day, a worm comes and eats the plant, and the plant dies. And then when the sun rises, there's a scorching east wind. The sun's beating down on Jonah's head, and he grows weary. He wants to die. And he tells God, "It's better for me to die than to live." And God speaks to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant and the worm that came and ate the plant that was offering you shelter?" Jonah justifies his reasoning. I do have a right to be angry, angry enough to die. And God shifts the focus away from the plant, away from the worm that eats the plant, and gets to the heart of Jonah. You've been concerned about this plant. You didn't work to make it grow. It grew up in one night, and it died after one night. So should I not be concerned for Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 people who do not know the difference between their right and their left hand? Now we have to understand that this is God's reason for showing mercy and compassion, that the people do not understand the consequences or the impact of their immorality, and that because of their lack and inability to understand the weight, this is all the more reason why God shows them compassion. But we have to understand that God offers them a choice. He offers them a chance to repent and to turn, and they do. And in their turning and in their repentance is the reason why God shows them compassion, grace, mercy, and forgives them. It is such an important and loaded story. And if we don't really get all the parts, we will completely miss the lesson and the mirroring of our own hearts and our own lives. And we miss the heart of God. Let's not miss it today. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time together in your word. We thank you that when we repent, when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us from our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, may we be aware of what we are withholding from you, what we are doing to offend your heart. And I pray that we would turn from our wickedness, run to you, repent, and you will be faithful and just and to keep your word and to cleanse us so that we can walk more intimately with you. I pray that this is the heart of every person here today. Let it begin with me. And I pray this all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible. What a great story for a great holiday. Today is the Daily Audio Bible International Long Walk. All over the country, people are walking, hopefully, in a posture of repentance, in a posture of hearing and submission, surrender to God and to his ways and his voice. So make sure you stay hydrated. If it's hot where you are, get out and walk. Today is the day. If you would like to post your pictures, share them with the community. We have got a Facebook post on our official Daily Audio Bible Facebook page. And we ask that you post your pictures, your short videos there so that everything can be in one little tidy spot. And we hope that you enjoy sharing and seeing and participating in your family around the globe that are out walking with God today. If you would like to partner with us at Daily Audio Bible, thank you so much to each and every one of you for every partnership. If you're giving by mail, DAB PO Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. Or if you're utilizing the app, hit the Give icon up at the top right-hand corner. And lastly, look for Give on the website. If you need prayer, if you'd like to pray for someone that's previously called in, several different ways for you to do so. 800-583-2164. That's the number for chronological. Or you can, again, utilize the app. Hit the red circle button up at the top right-hand corner, right next to the Give icon. You have 2 minutes on the prayer line. When you are finished, hit the little red microphone, and then right underneath that, hit chronological, the icon on the right, to ensure that your call gets to the right place. That's it for me today. I'm Jill. We'll turn the page together tomorrow. I love you all. Happy long walk day. Until tomorrow, love one another.
Hello, DABC family. This is Cynthia from upstate New York, and I would like to ask for prayer today. First, it's going to be prayer for my son. He has been taking a GLP-1 for some help with weight loss, and apparently it has caused acute pancreatitis, and he's just recently opened a business that's been doing very well. And he has now been sidelined with needing to take care of himself to get better. Lord, I just ask that you all come alongside me and please pray for him. Pray for his complete recovery. I'm not sure of the whole story, but that's what I have so far. And that's what the doctors are thinking that he is dealing with. But please, we know that God knows what it is. And I'm praying that whatever it is, it gets worked out of his system so that he can become whole. And Lord, just I'm asking for prayer that you can help him to mentally deal with what he needs to do for weight loss, and perhaps to not need to rely on these GLP-1s and what type of side effects may come to his body. And I'm also asking for prayer again for my brother George, who is taking infusions for his cancer treatment, and he's still having side effects. He's had to be hospitalized again for another week. He is very optimistic. So Lord, I just ask that you all please just keep him in prayer. I love you all, and I thank you and covet your prayers.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters. This is Northeast Kneebender. And I was listening to the 4th of July reading, and I'm listening to the prayer request, and I wanted all my brothers and sisters to know that I'm praying for you, for John, for Jennifer, for the sister that called. I can't recall your name, but you have a friend who's in financial need, and you've helped her, but the Lord is telling you to trust him because he hasn't abandoned her. So I'm praying with you, my sister. I'm praying for all of you. And those of you that don't even call, I am praying because I know you're in the background. I love you, my brothers and sisters, Northeast Kneebender.
Hello, this is Rosalind from sunny South Florida calling. Recently, I called about having knee surgery on June the 30th. To God be the glory. Everything went well. Had little pain, and now I am going to a rehabilitation center for a couple of weeks so that I may completely heal. Please continue to pray with me as I go through this process. Daughter of Silver Smith, I heard your prayer. Thank you so much. God bless everyone. Cherish the moments. I love you.